Dear friends, welcome to this week's virtual drasha. This week we have the incredible privilege of Parshas Korach, and in it we read of the dramatic rebellion of Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach assembles a group of people, 250 other followers, but again, many others joined in this rebellion as well. And it wasn't just a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, it was really like most of the rebellions of Klal Yisrael, a rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Korach comes forward with one simple agenda. Kulonu Kedoshim, we're all holy. We're all holy. At the end of the day, who said that you're holier? Who said that you're more special, Moshe Rabbeinu? Who said that you should rule over us? Really deeper, Korach felt that Moshe Rabbeinu had engaged in a power grab, making his brother Aaron the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, making himself the leader, the Navi, the Melech. And of course, Rashi HaKadosh explains that Korach himself fell, passed over for a promotion. He felt that he should have been the leader of his particular tribal family, and he felt passed over for that. But in any event, Korach comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he launches a multi-layer rebellion. Before he really goes after Moshe, he really goes after the rulings of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says, he tries to create the construct where Moshe Rabbeinu is simply making stuff up. And once you could prove that Moshe Rabbeinu is making stuff up, it delegitimizes the leadership platform of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Midrash says something amazing. V'chein amar lo. So Korach comes to Moshe and he says the following. Talis shekula tcheles. Tell me, Moshe, there's a mitzvah of tcheles. The mitzvah of tcheles says that when you have tzitzis are the ritual fringes that we wear on the four corners of our garments. And the Torah says you're supposed to make one of those strings tcheles, the special dye, special blue dye that comes from a unique aquatic creature. The Gemara Maseches Menachos explains that tcheles domele yam. The tcheles is supposed to remind us of the sea. Yam domele rakia. The sea resembles the heavens. Rakia domele kis yakoved. And these heavens resemble the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory. So the whole point of the tcheles is to remind us of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Korach says that it comes forward with a very simple question. He says, Moshe, let me ask you this question. What happens if you have a talis where the entire cloak is made of tcheles? Do you still have to go ahead and put one string of tcheles or not? Amar lo Moshe, him. Moshe says, of course, that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is that one of the strings of the tzitzit should be tcheles. Amar lo Korach, kol elu hadvarim sha'at ta'omer midai tcheim. Korach says, Moshe, you are literally making this stuff up. It doesn't make any sense. Elechut shal tcheles poter. If normally one string of tcheles is enough to exempt the entire garment, if the entire garment is made of tcheles, that's not enough. You still need a string. Moshe Rabbeinu, that doesn't make ein dvarecha ela divrei shkarim. Very strong words. So Korach says to Moshe, you're a liar. You're a liar. You're simply making this stuff up because what you're saying is totally illogical and nonsensical. What does Korach do? The Midrash goes on. Miyad ma'asa Korach tziva va'asa reish nataleza. So Korach makes 250 talisim, talisos, 250 cloaks, each of them made fully of tcheles. The tzitzis on each of these cloaks didn't have tcheles. He brings these 250 men, comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, and now in a public setting, says to Moshe, what is the halacha? What is the halacha? Moshe. So you have to imagine the scene. The Midrash says, Baboker, Hishkimu v'halchu the basement Midrash of Moshe. In the morning they came, they appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? They came to his basement Midrash, wherever that was, they came to his basement Midrash, and they say, Moshe, we're all wearing cloaks that are fully made of tcheles. Tell us, Moshe, do we still need to have one string that is of tcheles? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, yes. To which, again, Korach and now all of his followers say, Ein elu divrei habore ela dvarecha. Moshe, you're making it up. It's not the words of God. Vein divrei bados. You're lying. So they essentially call Moshe Rabbeinu a liar, and everything centers on this mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, that happens to be the Midrash brings out other examples of things that Korach did, but the tzitzis motif keeps on happening over and over and over. Korach comes with a talis that is all tcheles. Does it still need a string of tcheles? Moshe says yes, and Korach says, you see, this sheer illogicite of what you're saying is indicative of the fact that you're making this stuff up and you have seized the reins of leadership for what you want, for your own personal agenda, your own personal purposes. You're not an appointee of God, and therefore, again, this calls the whole leadership construct into question. The Shem Yishmol, the Sakrit Shavar Rebbe, asks a very simple question. He says, V'sarach lahavin, mipnei mach cholok davka misas tzitzis. Why tzitzis? In other words, let's be honest. There's a lot of things in Yiddishkeit that don't appear to be logical. A lot of things, right? So why this? And by the way, tzitzis, I don't think that tzitzis is the mitzvah that keeps us up at night. I think that there's a lot of things, when you do a deep dive into Yiddishkeit, and we know, of course, we accept it, we embrace all, but definitely part of our religion is doing things that may not be logical, or may not feel logical, or may not appeal to our human logic. So ask the Shem Yishmuel, Gorach, come on, you can do better than that. Why are you bringing up tzitzis? And the Shem Yishmuel gives a beautiful answer. He explains. He says, Kishem, Shetalis Tchu Shakula Treles, Hasvar Nosen Shep Tremetzis. It's always Korach's logic. Korach's logic is like this. Treles obviously is a very holy color. So Korach's logic was that a garment that is full treles should not need one string of treles. If the garment is already holy, then you don't need the one string. The metaphor, of course, being the garment representing the collective, the string representing the leader. If the garment is all holy, like Klal Yisrael, the garment is all treles, it's all holy, then you don't need a string of treles. Then we don't need a Moshe Rabbeinu. So Korach's whole point was, if the nation is kulam kidoshim, if the nation is all holy, I don't need a Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't need a leader. All of Klal Yisrael is fit. All of us could communicate with God. All of us could have that direct connection. We don't need Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like the talis that's all treles, ultimately, again, shouldn't need one string of treles. So to all of Klal Yisrael, which is holy, Moshe, we love you. No, we don't really love you. But we certainly do not need you. Shem Yishmuel. Perhaps there's something deeper happening over here. There is something very unique about the mitzvah of tzitzis. If we look about how tzitzis is framed in the Torah says, this is in Dvarim. Torah says, Lo silbash shatnis tzemer ufishtim yachta. Torah introduces us to the mitzvah of shatnis. Mitzvah shatnis says, you cannot wear wool and linen together. Interestingly enough, what follows that pasuk? Gedilin taselach al arba kanfos kususcha sher techasebo. Right after the prohibition of shatnis, Torah introduces the mitzvah of tzitzis. Right? Literally make fringes for yourself on the four corners of your garment. And the Gemara Meseches Nosir, Daf Mem Alpha, base 41b, notes this juxtaposition. What's the pshat? Why does the Torah go ahead and juxtapose the mitzvah of tzitzis to the mitzvah of shatnis? Essentially, the Gemara tells us why. Because although there is a mitzvah of shatnis, a prohibition of shatnis, there is one mitzvah which trumps shatnis. And what's that? Tzitzis. That if you want to make tzitzis a woolen garment and linen strings, you have the ability to do that. Right? That tzitzis has the ability to defer, right? To trump the mitzvah of shatnis. And in fact, the Gemara says, listen to this, what is this called? This is called asi asei v'doche lo sase. This becomes a very important halachic construct, that a positive mitzvah could set aside a prohibition. And there are many different examples of this, but tzitzis is the paradigmatic example, the asei, the positive commandment of tzitzis, overrides the prohibition of shatnez, hence the juxtaposition. You can't wear shatnez, but tzitzis can be made of shatnez, because the asay, the positive commandment of tzitzis, ultimately, again, defers the prohibition of shatnez. Asay, docha lo sase. And the Sfarim bring down something so beautiful. They say this concept of asay, docha lo sase, is not just a halachic construct, that literally a positive commandment could go ahead and set aside a prohibition. But the Sfarim explains something so beautiful, that asays and losa asays represent kind of two different buckets of life. The asays represent the positive commandments, so to speak, represent the things that are going well. Right? Things that are going well, things that are going according to plan, things that Baruch Hashem are just good, beautiful, whole, intact. The losa asays, the prohibition, that represents all the things in life that are broken, all the things in life that are misfiring, all the things in life that are simply off the rails. And the Sfarim explained that at any given moment in life, every Yid, every Jew, has asays and los asays. There are the things that are going right, and there are things that are not going right. There are things that I'm happy about, and the things that are just like so tzibrach and so broken, so overwhelmed, so saddened by. But the essence of life, the whole nekuda, the whole essence of successful living, is what do you allow to define the nature of your life? What do you allow to define your personalistic human condition? When you look at your life, what do you see? Do you see all the stuff that's broken, all the stuff that's in a state of disrepair, to the exclusion of all of your brachas? Or are you able to see the beautiful things in life as well? Not that the beautiful things, the good things, the intact things, make the broken things go away, But essentially, what frames your life perspective? Is it your ases or your los ases? The stuff that's whole or the stuff that's broken? The blessings or the curses? The stuff that's good or the stuff that's bad? Every single one of us in any given moment of life has both of these life buckets. But which bucket defines your perspective? That is the fundamental million-dollar question of the human condition. And in fact, the Sfarim says so beautifully. What does the Gemara tell us? What does Chazal tell us? Asi asei v'doche lo sasei. Successful living is all about allowing your personalistic asseis to set aside, to move aside, to peripheralize your los asseis. How do you define your life perspective? By what's broken or by what's good? And so much of successful living is allowing the good, the whole, the beautiful, the meaningful parts of your life to take dominant center stage and to push the los asseis, to push the negative stuff, the broken stuff to the side. It's there. It's there. Of course it's there. I'm not ignoring it and I have to deal with it. But I don't have to allow the stuff that's broken to be the dominant feature and fixture of my life to determine my perspective. And this is the greatest challenge of the human condition. On any given day, there's problems. And you could allow your problems to overwhelm you. And you could allow your problems to determine literally again the glasses through which you see the entire world. And the sky is full and everything. Or you could say, okay, I've got these problems and they're significant and they're meaningful. And yes, I can't ignore them. They're not going to go. I have to deal with them. But that doesn't define my life. What defines my life are the essays. What defines my life are the brachas, the beautiful brachas, that all too often I do not take inventory of, that all too often I'm not attentive enough because I'm so hyper-focused on the stuff that's broken. I'm so hyper-focused on the los asseis that I forget all of the beautiful asseis. And dear friends, herein lies Korach's problem. At the end of the day, what was Korach's rebellion about? Korach, Rashi HaKadosh says, was passed over for a promotion. He felt, as we said before, that he should have been the leader of his family. He didn't get it. He didn't get the job. He didn't get the job for whatever the reason. He wasn't most qualified, He didn't get the job. Korach, there's one piece of your life that you're unhappy with. Korach was a big tzaddik. Korach was wealthy. Korach was influential. Korach had a family. He had a wife. He had kids. What do you want? Look at all of those brachos. Tzaddik, wealthy, wife, kids. What more do... Okay, I got it. You didn't get the job. I'm sorry. I know it hurts. You got passed over. But that's how you're going to define your life? And the answer is yes. And that's why perhaps Korach's whole rebellion was focused on tzitzis. Because the irony is that Korach was trying to discredit Moshe through the one mitzvah that could have saved Korach. Because the entire hashkafa of tzitzis is asi asei v'docha los asei. Allow the positive to go ahead and set aside the negative. Allow the things that you have in life to determine your perspective and don't hyper-focus on the things that are broken. But Korach didn't, and that's the irony. He keeps coming for Moshe Rabbeinu first with his own tzitzis. Then he gets 250 people with tzitzis. And the irony, the tragic irony, is that the hashkafa of the one mitzvah that could have saved him, he was just blind to it. Korach chose to determine the totality of his existence by the one thing that wasn't working and ignored all of the beautiful brachos that he had. That was Korach's failure. That was Korach's downfall. The one mitzvah of tzitzis which could have saved him became the very source of his undoing. But the mitzvah of the hashkafa is so important for us. Asi, it's like a bumper sticker. Asi asei v'docha lo sasei. On any given day, there's so much stuff that's broken. On any given day, there are so many things that are in a state of disrepair. But on any given day, there's also a lot of bracha. Which one do you determine? Which one do you allow to determine your outlook on life? There's a beautiful quote by Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl, in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, writes, "Everything can be taken from you but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way. Each moment is a choice." Or said a little bit differently, "Asi asei v'docha lo sasei." Korach did not have the koach to frame his life through the right lens of perspective. May we be zochem yiras Hashem, not just to wear tzitzis on our bodies, but to carry the mitzvah of tzitzis in our heart and in our soul. and to recognize that although there may be many things which are broken, there's so much good, there's so much beauty, and let's allow that to define our perspective in the time ahead. Wishing everyone a good night of Shabbos and a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh.